Real Presence Live.
What we need more than anything in this day and age are apostles on fire with the heart of Christ.
Local.
I realized very early on that I needed to have a strong faith that I was going to get through this.
Engaging.
It's such a beautiful, profound experience of Christ's presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, working in the church and in these people's lives.
Live.
What I'm trying to get at is not to just talk about Catholic stuff. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ and announcing it.
Good morning to our listeners. This is Real Presence Live. My name is Monsignor Patrick Schumacher, your host for the next couple of hours. We got another good show planned for you during this second week of Lent 2017. How is your Lenten retreat going? You know, it can pass us by. If you are slow in starting, there's still time. And if you've fallen from what you promised, there's still time to recover. There is always time, as St. Paul wrote in that Lenten second reading I like on Ash Wednesday. The time is now. It is a favorable season, our Holy Father said, this Lenten season of deepening our spiritual life. And as St. Augustine wrote so well in today's officer readings, it is a season where we are reminded how our old nature was nailed to the cross with him in order to destroy our sinful bodies so that we may be slaves to sin no longer. A graced season it is, and this is a graced audience. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. I'm honored that you would take time to support and listen to Real Presence Live, in particular Real Presence Live. We're going to begin at the top of this hour with the theme. It's a Lenten theme of mindfulness. And I have on the line here Jennifer, who is a clinical therapist. Jennifer Anderson is her name. She is in studio. And good morning to you, Jennifer.
Good morning, Monsignor.
You are a clinical therapist with Catholic Charities. Just before we went on the air, you told me a little bit about yourself. You've been in the Fargo area for 20 years. You're the mother of two. You belong to St. Mary's there in Fargo. And how long have you been with Catholic Charities North Dakota?
I've been with Catholic Charities North Dakota for 3 years now.
Well, we have a topic that is not just a Lenten theme. We're reminded during Lent, of course, of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. But this kind of zeroes in on almsgiving a bit, this theme of mindfulness. Let's start, Jennifer. What is generally mindfulness?
Well, mindfulness is to be in the present moment, to be in the here and now. To be physically present and to be mindfully present as well. I could be sitting here in the studio, but my mind could be wandering. And we have so many things on our mind. And to do one thing with intention. So I'm doing, I'm thinking, I'm being with intention.
You know, living in the present is something we need to be reminded of so often. We have the gifts of our minds, memory, which can also be a liability. We do a lot of worrying in our life about what may be. We do a lot of pondering on what was. And the present moment really is all we have. All we have is time, and in time, all we have is the present. Why is it that that's so difficult for us to live in the present?
You'd think that it would be easy, but, you know, in our mind, we have these memories. And to be here in the present moment, and I'll meet with many of my clients, and I'll ask them, you know, what is bringing them to the session for counseling. And so often, they have a whole long list of past hurts, past memories, or worries about the future. And then I'll discuss with them about, you know, we don't have a time machine to go backwards to change that. We can only learn from it and move forward. And we don't have a crystal ball to tell us exactly what's going to happen in the future. So many times it's depression from the past and anxiety from the future. As long as, you know, we can learn from things and move forward. But too often my clients are simply stuck. And it's learned behavior and then learned thoughts. And sometimes they get comfortable in that maladaptive behavior and thinking.
Wow, indeed. I'm visiting here with Jennifer Anderson, a clinical therapist with Catholic Charities North Dakota. Welcome everyone to Real Presence Live. We're talking about mindfulness. Let's talk about this a little more. This is a great Lenten theme. This is a theme for us our entire life. What is mindfulness, Jennifer, from a Catholic perspective?
Well, mindfulness, unlike the Eastern philosophy, is a mindfulness to to practically trust God more in our lives, to turn our, if you've heard of the slogan, let go, let God. You know, we have control over what we say or do and how we respond to others. And then everything else, we simply need to give to God. I do not have control over what other people say or do, only what I say or do. So in regards to doing things with intention, it's not like the Eastern philosophy where the mindfulness comes from. It's not simply to empty my mind, as in reaching nirvana. I am simplifying my life, doing one thing at a time, and focusing what I have control over, and then praying to God. You know, prayer is a conversation to God, and meditation is listening to God. We have some wonderful tools, such as a rosary. Novenas are great meditations, especially for anxiety. The Mary Undoer of Knots is wonderful.
So mindfulness is not just the importance of being aware of the needs of others. It's importance of being aware of our Lord's presence, God in my life right now, which is all about trust.
Exactly.
Really.
Yes.
So let's dig into this a little more. As we talk about mindfulness, and mindfulness from a Catholic perspective, what does this look like day to day? And I'll tell you what I often see it doesn't look like after I go grocery shopping, one of my pet peeves. But generally, if a person is mindful, mindfulness from a Catholic perspective looks like what day to day, Jennifer?
That I am in charge of my life, that I am not just responding to life, that I have a plan. I wake up and I go to bed with prayer. I do what I need to do in regards to my job, taking care of kids, my household. But I don't have all of those extra things that too often us Midwesterners, we're a little too nice and we say yes to everything. We say yes to God, but it's okay to say no. So mindfulness from a Catholic perspective is living my day-to-day life and helps bridge the gap so that we can feel the peace in our lives that could come from having a Father that we can trust.
And as that peace and trust translates into our living our lives and being aware of the needs of others, there are thousands of examples from day-to-day that could look like, right?
Exactly.
Let me tell you one. I do the shopping. There's three of us priests at St. Wenceslaus and Dickinson. I do the grocery shopping. I don't mind it. I can get up there. My two young priests that are with me, they have schoolwork. Anyway, a little act of kindness, which I think is mindfulness, is to take care of your shopping cart after you take your groceries out. I don't know how many times in the parking lot I have to get, even on a windy day, which is 90% of the time in North Dakota. I have to round up shopping carts to, so it's small things like that. Put your shopping cart away. Maybe when you're in a group of people, maybe you can just zip it and listen to what the group is saying instead of needing to be in control of it yourself. I once had a wise librarian when I was studying in Rome always said that the loudest wagons in the Old West, the loudest wagons were the empty ones, and they were the ones that were, of course, never robbed because there was nothing in them. So, and there's a lot of nervousness and insecurity in people like that too. But it's really how we do the small things, which are really mindful, right?
Exactly, doing things with intention, such as I'm driving to the Adoration Chapel. I'm making the time, and I sit there with the Lord. And clearing my mind, I throw all of my worries that I have no control over, and I just sit there, and it becomes this warm peace over me that it's like, okay, it's okay, Lord. I'm going to be okay because I know you've got my back.
Even toning down our judgmental attitude, towards others. I think if we try and deal with worrying in our life about what may be, that same energy can be channeled into a judgment on others or a judgment on a situation. I may not even know all the facts, but, you know, quite frankly, I don't think all the facts are important because my judgment is right. Toning down our judgment or pulling first the plank out of my own eye before I find the splinter in another's eye is truly mindfulness. So it's really, really deep. Give me some more perspectives on that, Jennifer.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Judgments and assumptions. None of us are mind readers. We make these judgments and, you know, say, for example, you know, so we're sitting there in mass and, oh, our kids are acting up or something. And it's like, you can only do your part. And, you know, so many of my clients will assume, well, I'm not as pious or as holy as so-and-so. Well, I remind them that my clients with the 2.2 kids and the large house and the white picket fence, they're in counseling with me as well. We're always making assumptions and trying to do more and more. And the thing here is that most of those individuals are just living to society and what they think is right, getting the best toys and best cars and things. And they're just simply empty people because they're missing Christ. They don't have that in their lives.
We're coming up on 12 minutes past the hour. I have here Jennifer Anderson. She is a clinical therapist with Catholic Charities North Dakota. And we're talking about a Lenten theme, but a theme for us our entire year, mindfulness. And the importance of being aware of the needs of others, the importance of being aware of the presence of God in our life. In this year's Lenten message, Jennifer, our Holy Father spoke about how the other person is a gift. He uses the parable of Lazarus, and he gives us ways to live the Lenten season. He says in this message, the Lenten message for this year, he said, Lazarus teaches us that other persons are a gift, and a right relationship with people consists in gratefully recognizing their value. I think it's impossible, isn't it, Jennifer, to be mindful if you don't recognize other persons as a gift and their value?
Yes, exactly. We don't live on an island by ourselves speaking to a ball named Wilson, you know, from that movie. We have to deal with other people. We may not get along with everybody, but everybody has their gift. We're all gifts from God. God didn't make junk. Junk happens in life. There's free will. And so many times when we're separated from our Lord is these past hurts, these pains, these worries. And just to simplify our lives and to say, I don't need to know everything. I don't need to have all of these things, and to have that that peace, that calm, that loving feeling that it's okay. God's going to help me.
I love Stranded Island movies, the series Lost, Gilligan's Island.
Yes.
You brought up Wilson. I love them. I imagine myself in that scenario for maybe a short time until I get hungry. It's just something about getting away, and I just recently had the privilege to go to Hawaii for the first time in January, and I don't think island life is for me, but it did remind me of all the island dramas that I love. I'm visiting here with Jennifer Anderson. She's a clinical therapist with Catholic Charities in North Dakota. We're talking about mindfulness. What is it? What is mindfulness from a Catholic perspective? The importance of being aware of the needs of others. I think it's a great habit for us to get in. And Jennifer, we're going to take a short break here in a moment. But after the break, we're going to dig into a little bit of the scripture quote that I found that came to me in prayer as I was preparing this show. And that is, of course, the words of John the Baptist, how I must decrease. In that third chapter of John, he talks about how he must increase, how therefore we must decrease so our Lord can increase in our life. And I think once we do decrease and pray that our Lord may increase in our life, we will be mindful. Just to start, we will do a lot of things that will be truly beautiful. So you're listening to Real Presence Live. Jennifer, we're going to have you hang on through a short break. Is that all right?
That sounds good. Thank you.
Jennifer will be back. Jennifer Anderson, she is a clinical therapist with Catholic Charities in North Dakota. We're going to talk about some other examples of a Catholic mindful life. And perhaps some ideas, not just putting away the shopping carts and zipping it when you're in a group of people and think you need to be the center of attention. But there are some more, certainly more profound. So we'll be back in just a moment. This is the second week of Lent. How is your retreat going in 2017? I'm your host, Monsignor Schumacher. It is March Madness coming up. My bracket is done. My final four, Duke, Arizona, Kansas, UCLA. You heard it first here. And it's the first Final Four coming in Phoenix, April 1st. We'll be back in just a moment.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
The Wanzek Family Foundation has proudly supported the mission of Real Presence Radio since 2004. With their help, we've been able to continue spreading Jesus Christ's message of hope throughout North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. The Wanzek Family Foundation is dedicated to supporting Catholic initiatives and programs like our weekly local shows, Catholic Coach, and Real Presence Live. Thank you to the Wanzek Family Foundation for being a part of this family of faith and hope.
This is Father Chuck Huck from the Diocese of Crookston. Today I'm thinking about going to Mass. What is the importance of going to Mass and gathering as a community? One of the things that I think is very important is we must realize God calls us as His people. He invites us forth. He wants us to be participatory in life, in relationship. He wants to be part of that relationship. What's amazing is most people don't realize God is calling you, and when you wake up on Sunday morning or on Saturday evening when you decide to go to Mass, what you are doing is responding to God's call. And the celebration for the Eucharist actually starts when you start preparing at your home or wherever you're at to come forth to church. Imagine streams of people from everywhere coming together, celebrating because God called them all to be together at that moment, at that time.
60 Seconds with Mother Angelica.
I want to be like Jesus. That should be in the heart of every Catholic, every Christian. I want to be like Jesus. Well, if you don't know what not like Jesus in you, how are you going to be like Jesus? I mean, if you're the perfect one, then you got it made, but you don't. But I need light. You need light. You need light to know what's wrong with you. So let's not be afraid of Jesus. Let's not be afraid to know ourselves. If you gossip a lot, if you've committed some pretty bad sins, if you're angry, saucy, always complaining, always griping, then you need to say, I am always griping. I need to change. I love you, and so does God. Bye now.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
You're listening to Real Presence Radio. Now, back to Real Presence Live.
We are back, and thank you again to all of our audience. And it's not just a tri-state area anymore. It was when I started here years ago. We are in many states, many areas, many towers. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to all who support us. I was at the Real Presence Radio Banquet a couple of weeks ago in Bismarck, and it never ceases to amaze me the support people have for Real Presence Radio. And it was a grand night. It was really, really good. So thank you to all of our supporters. You make us possible. You put us on the air, and you make shows like this possible. Real Presence Live, where we do a lot of local programming. I have Jennifer Anderson, She's a therapist with Catholic Charities. We're talking about mindfulness from a Catholic perspective. Jennifer, our Holy Father said in 2014 how Lent is so powerful that it moves us to improve and to change for the better. It can't just foster change and conversion, but it does indeed impel us to do it. I think something we can all do to improve and to change for the better is to be more mindful of those around us. It's really the definition of charity. Aquinas defined charity as willing the good for another. Mindfulness is truly that. Let's get to some more examples, Jennifer, more specifically. We spoke about trust before, how mindfulness is not just knowing the needs of those around me, but also the presence of God, which takes trust. We also spoke about anxiety. And in your work, as a clinical therapist, you have to come upon this often. It's a terrible scourge, really, anxiety. And I don't think there's anything more that can take us away from living in the present like anxiety. Tell us about that.
Yes. Anxiety, I see that so often in my clients. I'll tell you a story, and many can relate to this. This was many years ago, and I was working with a woman, and she was so excited. Her daughter was getting married, and they planned for over a year. The mom was very worried about the weather, if the cake, the flowers, I mean, all those details, the soloists, the altar servers, everything, that she had a backup plan for each of those worries. And the day of the wedding came, and she was so excited. I was looking forward to seeing her the next week. She brought in some snapshots, and she just looked at me with those snapshots to say, I don't even remember being there. I was so worried, even though I had a backup plan for everything, and nothing went wrong. But she's looking at me with tears, saying, I missed the entire day. I'm standing there posing with those pictures, smiling with my daughter and all of that, but she doesn't remember the wedding. So then she had more guilt and more worry about how she missed the day. And so that is a perfect example of not being in the present moment, worrying about so much. You know, we can only do our part, but things are going to happen. But it can be so controlling of our lives. And anxiety, like you said, is such a stronghold that the evil one wants us to worry about all of this stuff. And so let go, let God.
And in the end, you tell that story, and I guess what comes to me is the word sadness. How sad for a mother to not even remember the day or enjoy the day, because she was so task-oriented about all the details that really her worry was for naught.
Huh? Exactly. Yeah. I have I meet with a lot of women busy with their kids, and they're just being pulled all over the place with schedules and, you know, t-ball or all these play dates and birthday parties, that it's like, who's in control here? And that our calendars are so filled up, and they're not even, you know, talking to their husbands, or they're just texting each other and got to do this, got to do that. But really, we need to simplify and to say no to a lot of these things, that our family, our peace, our quiet. And don't get me started on electronics either. So that seems to be a big thing,
right?
Too. So, yeah.
It really is about an ascent of the mind to see what is in front of you as gift. Mother Teresa said that all that happens to us in life is a gift. The events through people, whether it's good, whether it's bad, all is a gift. And every person in front of us should be a gift. Even those who harm us or don't like us, they're a gift because they challenge us to be charitable in that way, and to see maybe God working in other ways that we can't understand. Jennifer, I got another corner here to turn. And when we talk about task-oriented people, and don't get me wrong, I am one, and I think the world needs them, and I think they make the world go around. But a real danger in being a task-oriented person is that we try to be perfect. And you know what? Task-oriented people know that nothing is perfect but heaven, but they still try to be perfect. Give me an example in your work how that will work.
We need to have, of course, being task-oriented, we have to work by the clock and everything. But when I'm at work, I do work. When I'm at home, I'm at home. And so having those boundaries to do what I'm supposed to with my tasks, but also to give myself some downtime, that we need to have that quiet time and transitions. Transitions are what's difficult for kids. Parents are trying to get them out to the car or something and they have a meltdown, or, you know, meltdowns we see a lot at church or something. It's out of the ordinary. So routine is good, but also to be able to learn to respond to when things happen. And just to laugh about it, too, that I ask people, I go, what book are you trying to be this perfection out of? You know, and the big book is the Bible, and we learn so much from there. And for us to just to let go some of these things, it just leads us to neurosis sometimes.
Fundamentally, Jennifer, as we talk about mindfulness, it begins with a spiritual life. It begins with, taking part in the sacraments. 2 years ago, Pope Francis hammered in his Lenten messaging. His messaging was really to take part in the sacraments. He talked about Lent in 2015 as a favorable time in which we may turn to be more like Christ. And then he said specifically and emphatically, this happens whenever we hear the word of God and receive the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. So again, the Eucharist is the center of our Catholic faith. It is really where it all begins, and unfortunately, it can end if we fall negligent in that area. The sacraments, right?
Right. That's the highlight of my week, is to receive the Eucharist, but we need to be in the right way with God, and sin is separating us from God. And so the examination of conscience is a good reminder to that. I like the long version. I even give it to handouts to my non-Catholic clients, and they just love it. In fact, two of my clients joined the church last year, so it's just amazing. But going to reconciliation, to get ourselves right with God, and to look at ourselves on what we're doing. And I have so many clients that are trying to change other people, and are codependent or enmeshed families where mothers are still parenting their 40-year-old sons living in the basement playing video games, but they haven't been to the doctor in a couple of years. So really cleaning out our closets, literally and figuratively, and looking at ourselves. You know, in the Catechism, it talks about us being, you know, we all yearn to be happy. And that's where all these vices and addictions come from, is that we're seeking for all this emptiness. But mindfulness, and from a Catholic perspective, is simplifying and turning to God. That's
Jennifer,
what we need to do.
You said it well. I want to thank you for your time on Real Presence Live today, and we wish you all the best and all the best God's blessings as a clinical therapist and in your work with Catholic Charities North Dakota.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And congratulations to your husband. You indicated he's going to be received into the church soon?
Yes, he is. I'm so excited.
Well, congratulations to you. As we get closer to the Easter Vigil, we think of all who will be received into the Catholic Church by God's grace. And so congratulations to your family.
Thank you.
We've been speaking about mindfulness. Jennifer, you can come on Real Presence Live anytime. It was a good starter for us.
Yes, it was.
On today's Real Presence Live. All the best, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Mindfulness from a Catholic perspective. Let's think about that when we get up, maybe just when you get up in the morning. What can I do today to be more mindful of an event in my life that maybe I may not like, but I can see it as a gift? Mindful of a person in my life that's a challenge for me, but yet is a gift? Mindful of God's blessings in my life, and mindful of the good things God brings in my life, which we also take for granted. I think we need to talk about mindfulness often. So let's keep that in mind, all of our listeners, clergy, bishops, and everyone listening to Real Presence Live. Mindfulness is God's grace. We will be back in just a moment.
This program on the RPR Network is brought to you in part by St. Mary's Central High School in Bismarck.
Hi, this is Alex Schmidt, a senior at St. Mary's Central High School.
And I'm Father Jerry Johnson, school chaplain. The mission of St. Mary's Central High School is to allow our students to grow spiritually, academically, and socially in a Christ-centered environment based on Catholic tradition.
In our spiritual lives, we are given the opportunity to encounter Christ inside and outside the classroom.
We're also passionately committed to allow the minds of our students to pursue the fullness of truth in all academic disciplines.
Our school is also committed to allow us to develop authentic and life-giving relationships that will equip us for the entirety of our lives.
Encountering Christ, pursuing truth, awakening hearts, St. Mary's Central High School.
For more information, visit smchs.org. That's smchs.org. St. Mary's Central High School, a Light of Christ Catholic School of Excellence.
Challenge comes along, some people turn away. At the University of Mary, we turn up our sleeves. Always have. The challenge today is finding a quality education that's faithfully Catholic and affordable. And we are. With our year-round campus option, you can earn a bachelor's degree in 2.6 years and a master's degree in 4. Value for your money, values for your life. Learn more at cometomary.com.
This is Mrs. Matheson, the Spanish teacher here at St. Elizabeth Seton School in Rapid City. Please pray the glory be with us in Spanish.
En el nombre del Padre, y del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo. Amén. Gloria al Padre, y al Hijo, y al Espíritu Santo, como era en un principio, ahora y siempre, y por los siglos, amén. En el nombre del Padre, y del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo, amén.
Hola, soy Víctor Magaña, pertenezco a la Iglesia de Corpus Christi en Bismarck, North Dakota. Gracias por escuchar Real Presence Radio.
You're listening to Real Presence Radio. Now, back to Real Presence Live.
It is already 33 minutes past the hour, and in our second interview today, I have Jacques Daniel and Jay Wickham. They are organizers of the upcoming Journeymen Men's Conference in the Diocese of Rapid City. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to both of you. Let's start, first of all, with this conference. The conference will be held on Saturday, April 29th at the Terra Sancta Retreat Center in Rapid City. Mark Hauk is the keynote speaker. And this is an annual conference for you gentlemen in the Diocese of Rapid City. Is that right?
That's correct.
So what role do each of you play in this? Jacques, Daniel, let's start with you.
Sure. I help out with the group and coming up with a lot of the promotional material. So I'm a graphic designer by trade, and so coming up with the posters, the design for a lot of the advertising pieces.
And Jay, how about you?
I'm the leader of the group. I organize our meetings every for us to get together and discuss our organization and kind of try to keep us moving forward and get the speakers and try to organize things so that we can have our conference every year.
And I know that those listening to us in whatever diocese they are, wherever they live, have conferences such as these. For example, in the Diocese of Bismarck here, we have Thirst, we have Men's Thirst, we have Women. So as you listen to this interview, find out what you have in your diocese, and let's find out what they do in the Diocese of Rapid City. Let's first talk about St. Joseph. With the feast day approaching, his feast day is approaching, and it's often overlooked. We have great events for St. Patrick, and we should. It's my name's day. But St. Joseph is often overlooked. Tell us about St. Joseph a little bit and how he provides a good example of what it means to be a man as we near your men's conference in Rapid City. Jay, let's start with you.
Well, I would like to kind of highlight him as father in our discussion this morning, because I think his role has really highlighted the importance of his fatherhood, in that when the angel, you know, came to the Holy Family to warn them about Herod killing the child Jesus, they came to Joseph. That's who they came to, was Joseph. And, you know, for him to protect his family. And so they came to Joseph, and he was faithful to that, you know, that he responded. He responded to the call of the angel, and he got out, and he took his family and protected them. And so that's the role, I think, that's really important for us to look at with St. Joseph, is that of father, and how he, how important it is for him and also for us, the importance of our vocation as fatherhood when it comes to our children.
And that is never easy. Often it is fighting the good fight. The theme of this year's conference is Fight the Good Fight. And Jacques, let's turn to you. Really, St. Joseph really did that, albeit in a quiet way, not quoted in Scripture, but certainly he did fight the good fight. And he protected our Lord as father, as Jay said. And there are many other qualities that we can learn, that above all, fathers can learn from St. Joseph.
Yeah, I think one of the things that impresses me about St. Joseph is that although we don't hear any words really from him in Scripture, you know, as Jay said, the angel knows to go to him. They know that he's, although he's a man of interiority and silence, he's a man of resolve. And so, you know, the times that he's mentioned, and clearly just by what you can gather from the story about Mary and Jesus and their life at Nazareth, St. Joseph's the man. And he takes care of business, and he definitely fought the good fight.
I have on the line Jacques Daniel and Jay Wickham. They are organizers for the upcoming Journeymen Men's Conference in the Diocese of Rapid City. It is Saturday, April 29th. Saturday, April 29th at the Terra Sancta Retreat Center in Rapid City. Let's maybe back up a bit. What is Journeymen? Tell us about Journeymen.
And I can do that. And so we're really what we like to consider ourselves is a movement in the diocese. We're not a group that people can join. There's no membership or anything like that. So we're really a movement. And so we kind of have a two-phase movement. And one is our conference that's coming up in April. And, you know, we use that kind of as a springboard to bring men together and to get excitement in them. And then the other part of our movement is our goal is for men to form small groups, these small groups of men in parishes, so that they can strengthen each other and lean on each other. You know, the conference is great. It brings a lot of energy. It brings good information. But as human beings, we really struggle to retain. You know, if we retain 10% of what we hear at the conference, that's good. But our other goal is to try to bring men together in small groups in our parishes, because, you know, as men, we're really great at isolating ourselves and kind of thinking that really nobody else is going through the struggles that we're going through. Nobody else has these experiences in life that we do, and we kind of isolate ourselves into our troubles. And what we really need to do is come together as men and and share our struggles, our joys, our successes, our failures, and through that strengthen each other. And by strengthening each other, then we can go back and strengthen, be strong in our families, in our parishes, in our communities.
Before we move deeper into St. Joseph as a example for us, and as a leader of men and inspiration of men, and what journeyman is, if there's someone out there listening, Jacques, let's go back to you, who's on the fence as to whether or not they should attend the conference. What would you say to him who's listening right now somewhere?
Yeah, I think the thing that, you know, is my biggest challenge is that when I think about taking time for myself, you know, I'm usually last on the list. I'm married and I've got 7 kiddos, so I'm thinking about them. I'm thinking about the things that they need to do. I'm thinking about my wife and the things that she needs. And so oftentimes I don't take the time that I need for myself, especially in the interior life, in the realm of taking care of my soul. And so I think it's one of the best things that we can do is to, at some point, make sure that we've got our, you know, as you fly, you got your safety oxygen mask on before you start helping other people. And as I think about St. Joseph, the leader, and my own role as a father and a husband, if I'm not moving in the direction I'm supposed to, then it's really a challenge for me to lead my family.
As we near the feast day of St. Joseph, quickly approaching, we spoke briefly about how St. Joseph is an example of a father, an example of a protector of the Holy Family. You indicated before they spent 3.5 years in Egypt, they came to him, the divine presence, and he, well, got the job done. But it's also important to know that St. Joseph is such a beautiful saint without even being quoted in Scripture. And that tells us a lot about the ability to lead without words, to lead by example. And that is a great gift that your conference can bring to men and to fathers, is not just words, but by example. Isn't that right?
And yes, that is correct. And I think that's sometimes the hardest is to, you know, sometimes to be led by example, just like St. Joseph, he was alone in his leading. And sometimes that's a hard place to be. And sometimes that's a place God calls us to be, is to be alone, but to lead alone. And so I think St. Joseph is a great example for us in that, you know, he had the courage to respond. Even though maybe he didn't understand everything, and he knew God was calling him, he was a righteous man, it says in Scripture. So because he was a righteous man, you know, he trusted in the words that God gave him, and he responded in that way. And that, I think, speaks volumes for the man that he was.
The conference will be at the Terra Sancta Retreat Center in Rapid City on Saturday, April 29th. We're visiting with Jacques Daniel and Jay Wickham. They are both organizers of the upcoming Journeymen Men's Conference in the Diocese of Rapid City, Saturday, April 29th. What are the times, Jay?
The check-in is from 7 to 8 is when registration is, and then we will close with Mass. And it is a Sunday obligation Mass, so if you know, that'll fulfill your Sunday obligation at 4 o'clock. And also to note that families are welcome, you know, that 4 o'clock Mass, that, you know, you're welcome to for families to come and attend with their husbands.
And both mother and father are examples to their children. But St. Joseph provides a particular devotion to all fathers. Indeed, as St. Joseph let his words teach and he let his actions really speak, we pray for all fathers to do that. As we take a short break here, we're coming up, gentlemen, on 45 minutes past the hour. We're going to visit more about your theme and a few other things of this conference. And I'll tell you a little bit about my Lenten reading that I got going. It's actually on the life of St. Joseph. And I have my book opened here, believe it or not, to the arrival in Egypt which you spoke about briefly, Jay. So, gentlemen, hang on. We're going to take a short break here at Real Presence Live, and we appreciate all of our listeners wherever you are. We have a good rest of the show planned for you. We have fasting and abstinence coming up, as well as a little bit of talk on Fatima and NDSU Newman Center. So don't go anywhere. We will be back in just one moment.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. I don't have any cookies. It's Lent, you know. But it sure is great to have you here. Just knowing that you care enough to spend some time here to deepen your relationship with Christ is a great blessing. I'm pretty sure that smile on the Lord's face is because of you. Go ahead, smile back.
This is Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope.
Hello, this is Monsignor Tom Richter from the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit in Bismarck. I want to speak to any and all of you young men out there who think the Lord might want you to be a priest. And that comes into your mind, into your thoughts, and in your heart every once in a while. My word of encouragement to you would be discernment always happens only in faith. And faith begins only with this great conviction. That whatever God wants for us, whatever Jesus wants for us, whatever the Father wants for us is what is best for us. That which is against us is always trying to make us afraid of what God might be asking of us. And so discernment always begins and ends with going against that movement that makes the human heart scared of God. And so I just encourage you to always move away from that.
This is Dale Alquist with a Chesterton Minute. Have you ever heard the church criticized for defending celibacy? What about for defending marriage? Have you ever heard it accused of showing contempt for women, but also sneered at because only women go there? Have you ever heard it attacked for asceticism, but also for extravagance? How about for being dull? How about for being too garish? How about for being too worldly? Or too unworldly? Or insisting that people confess their sins? Or showing too much mercy to sinners? Notice any contradiction among the critics? G.K. Chesterton says, here's a broad and simple test. If you hear a thing being accused of being too tall and too short, too red and too green, too bad in one way, and too bad also in the opposite way, then you may be sure that it is very good. Want more than a minute? Chesterton.org.
We are discussing a men's conference in Rapid City, but we're also discussing, above all, the role of St. Joseph in the life of men as an example. And I have here back on the line Jacques Daniel and Jay Wickham. They are the organizers of the upcoming Journeymen's Conference in the Diocese of Rapid City. I'm reading during Lent the life of St. Joseph. It was given to me by a parishioner. It is by Maria Cecilia Bi. This is an 18th century abbess of a Benedictine convent in Italy. Montefiscone, Italy. It's interesting. Now, these are private revelations that are printed in conformity with the decrees of the Church. They're private revelations, and the point of this is not to add to revelation. We know that the culmination and fullness of revelation is in Jesus Christ. There's nothing more we need to know to be saved. In other words, the purpose of these accounts of the life of St. Joseph are not to be exegetical or historical, one may say. They're for edification. Anyway, gentlemen, as I read this, I see constantly in the life of St. Joseph by Maria Cecilia Bi, the working back and forth of Joseph and Mary, particularly in their arrival in Egypt. And when I was there in 93, but more so in 2009, we followed part of the route of the Holy Family in Egypt, where they were for 3.5 years, the house where they lived a little bit. And it's just an interesting account here. It's a chapter 35, page 192 in this publication. But truly how Joseph and Mary really supported each other, and really how Mary was edified by Joseph as the leader of faith in the family often. So men are not just protectors, but they are above all leaders in the faith. It is a tragedy in the church when men think that religion is just for the women and children, rather because how they lead, the rest of the family will follow. That is so true. Jay?
Yeah, and I'd like to talk about that. You know, I think there's a sound. At our conference last year, our speaker talked a lot about he had statistics for us that if the father remains Catholic, and not just remains Catholic, but also active in his Catholic faith, you know, the odds and the statistics show that the family, the children, the odds of them, you know, we have a lot of children that when they get to college, they leave the faith. And the statistics show that if the father leads and is active in his Catholic faith, that those children stay in the faith. They stay in the church. And it was interesting because if the mother was active in her Catholic faith, those statistics didn't go up as much as if the father was active in his Catholic faith. And the kids and the children could see that and witness that. And I think it goes back to what I spoke about earlier, the importance and the primacy of that fatherhood of Joseph. And that calls us to the primacy of our faith and the importance of our fatherhood and how we witness God the Father to our children, and how our children their faith is really strengthened, and how they draw from our witness as fathers.
So a father leading his family in the faith has to go back to the powerful example he leads, more than just the words he says, like Saint Joseph, who was not quoted in Scripture, but led by example. The fathers leading the family in the faith, being active in the faith, it's really, first of all, it's immeasurable, it's identifiable, as you said. But why is that? Why is it so powerful for a father to lead the family in the faith? And the results that can come from that, I would guess, especially in the boys, but both in the boys and girls. Jacques, let's turn to you.
Yeah, I tell people all the time that, you know, your children know what you love, and they will love what you love. You know, if you love football, if you love sports, your kids are gonna, for the most part, they're gonna see that love and joy, and they're gonna want to be with you. And they're gonna take into that, you know. And so for myself, as I think about wanting to get my kids to heaven, wanting to be a good father and an example in the faith, I just know that if I'm not spending time praying, if I don't ever go into a church except for Sunday, you know, my example is gonna speak more to my children.
Indeed.
Than if I tell them. You know, they need to go to church. If we don't ever go to confession on a regular basis, if they don't see me doing that, they know what's important. You know?
Why should
if
it be?
See it,
yep. Exactly. You know, why should it be important if the father's not doing it? For boys especially, yeah. The first experience of the outside world for boys comes through the father. So when the father is active in the faith, that example is more powerful than we can ever imagine. I wonder that this would be an interesting study, maybe, I don't know, a doctoral paper or an article attached to it, maybe a footnote. How many priests do we have today? Active, effective, loyal priests who had an inactive father in their faith. Now, I know priest friends who have fathers who are not Catholic, but they were still, by example, they were still supportive. It would seem to me nearly impossible, not just for priests to be called, but for boys to live that without the example of the father. I know that we're repeating this, but I think it's worth repeating, Jay.
And I agree. And I think the real key here is that, you know, we in our fatherhood reflect God the Father. And that relationship that our children have with us is the key and the link to the relationship our children have with God the Father. And I think that, that you know, that the prayer time that Jacques talked about and the spiritual life that you need, you know, you had to have that relationship with God the Father. And if you don't have that relationship with your own father, or you had a bad relationship with your father, how much harder it is to have that relationship with God the Father as a grown man. And so I think that's where it's really key for us as men to see how, you know, that our vocation as father and as man, how important it is to that link to God the Father.
And that is really fighting the good fight. That's your theme for this conference this year. We're speaking with Jacques Daniel and Jay Wickham. We're talking about the upcoming conference, Saturday, April 29th, in Rapid City. And the theme is Fight the Good Fight. Why was this theme chosen, Jay?
Well, it's kind of ironic. So my mom had bought me a T-shirt that had Fight the Good Fight on it. It has a quote by Padre Pio. And you know, I've been reflecting a lot in my prayer life about, you know, the greatest fight as men, as the greatest battle we're going to have as men is the battle in our soul, the battle for against the evil one. And I think that in our society today, as men, we can, it's really easy for us to concede to the women and allow them to be active in the church and to be active. And we're not out there, both in the public square, fighting the good fight, you know, against abortion, against the ills of our society, the struggles that our society's having, being out there in the public square, fighting the good fight, being the leaders that we're called to be, and also fighting the good fight in our soul, and to fight against the evil one, and to fight against the things that call us from our vocation and call us away from that active Catholic faith that we talked about. That's really where the fight begins. It begins in our soul, and it from there, it bleeds out into our parish and into our community and into our society.
And St. Paul knew that as he wrote it, to fight the good fight, run the race, and to keep the faith. It's a beautiful reading, not just for a funeral mass, but it's a beautiful reminder for us as we live the days God has given us to live. And the days are going by quickly. I think our lives are often passing quicker than we can imagine, and so we need to take these opportunities. There is an opportunity in the area of the Diocese of Rapid City, but I ask that all of our listeners keep in mind the conferences that may be in your diocese, and the Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways. You may hear of a conference a year from now or 2 years from now, but give it a little interest and participate in it. For those, Jay, who would like to be a part of this conference on the 29th of April, in Rapid City, how do they register?
They can either go directly to Terra Sancta's website, and there's a link there, or they can go to our website, which is JourneymenSD, like the abbreviation for South Dakota, so JourneymenSD.com. And on there, they'll find information about our conference and how to register. Also, some opportunities there for support, for donations, and for sponsorships of our conference. So the best way is, again, JourneymenSD.com.
This upcoming men's conference reminds us, Jacques and Jay, thank you for your time on Real Presence. This upcoming conference reminds us, indeed, how fathers are vital to the church, the health of the church, and how fathers and men are not just to lead by example, but are also to lead by their words, and to be leaders in their families of the faith. And we pray for them. And I will pray for your upcoming conference. Gentlemen, thank you for being a part of the show today.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And greet Bishop Gruce for me. We studied a few years ago at the North American in Rome, and he's a good man you have there. So say hi to him when you see him.
Will do.
All right. Jock Daniel and Jay Wickham, they are the organizers of the upcoming Journeymen's Conference in Rapid City. Check the conferences in your area, this area of Rapid City. It is on Saturday, April 29th, and we will be back in just a moment as we approach the top of the hour. We'll be back in just a moment.